Let's turn to the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We have come down through, I believe, verse number 10 is where we stopped the last time. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time reviewing tonight, but the last thing we looked at was we know that this world is not our home. We're looking at the subject matter of the faith advantage. There are people in the world that believe God, and there are people in the world that don't believe God. I'm glad I'm on the first side of that. Say amen. I'm glad I'm on the first side of that. I believe God, and that's a blessing. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why do we study the Bible? Because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is. That he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so tonight we're going to pick up in verse number 11. And talk about the faith advantage. In verse number 11 the Bible said through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Not too many ladies, 90 years old, are expecting to deliver a baby, amen? And not too many men as old as Abraham was are expecting a baby, but God promised and God delivered. The Bible said, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. I read that statement, as good as dead, and it reminded me of a statement that somebody said years ago. They were talking about a man that was way up in years and just about getting ready to cross over, and a man said he's got one foot in the grave and the other one's on a banana peel. In other words, that's the way they were looking at Abraham here. Him as good as dead. No way that's going to happen. And so as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand by the seashore innumerable. And he said, these all died in faith, and not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We tied in, I think, verse 13 and 14 with that 10th point, 13 through 16, how this world is not our home. So let's stop right there and begin to look at the next thing in the Word of God here. We want to say this tonight. This would be the 11th thing in the list, the faith advantage. We believe that God keeps his promises. Amen. We believe that God keeps his promises. You say, preacher, that is so elementary. Well, we're going to get into some things tonight. Listen, you want to know why we don't pray like we ought to? Because we don't believe God keeps his promises like we ought to. But I'm telling you, if the faith advantage tonight is believing that God keeps his promises. The Bible told God told Abraham and God told Sarah and God made him a promise and God kept his promise. Now listen, I'll give you several things tonight. First of all, God keeps his promise concerning our pardon. When God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God meant that and God keeps that promise. The Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when God made that promise, God keeps his promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful tonight that we have a God that cannot lie, that will never lie to us, and a God that when he makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. He keeps his promise tonight. He keeps his promise concerning prayer. There's lots of places we could go, but I just want to go to 1 John tonight, chapter number 5. What did God say? The Bible said in verse number 14 of chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And I praise the Lord tonight that when God gave us a promise concerning prayer, he said, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I believe that ought to make us tonight, as God's people, want to come to the throne of grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Tonight, prayer requests are made all over the auditorium. And tomorrow night, it could be one of us laying in the shape that somebody we're praying for tonight. Amen. None of us know what's going on inside this body that God has given us. But we do know this body's going back to the dust. And we know that we're not going to be here forever, that it is appointed unto men once to die. But listen tonight, God answers prayer. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, how many of you men were with us when we went down to see Brother Mitchell after that wreck? There's one, two, myself, Brother Houston, that's four, five of us here tonight. I'm telling you, beloved, ask these men the shape that man of God was in sitting down there in his living room. But God raised him up. He sends out that letter, Brother Rose, and people go to praying, amen, for the man of God. And Brother Mitchell, he'll tell you that God raised him up. And I'm trusting God, beloved, to raise him up. You know what I believe? When God gets through with Brother Mitchell, he won't raise him up. He'll take him up. Amen. And when God gets through with me, he won't raise me up. He'll take me up. Amen. To be with him. And so concerning prayer, we believe God keeps his promises. Then I believe God keeps his promise concerning his people. He said, preacher, what do you mean? I love this. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, our feelings will let us down. Have you ever felt like, God, where are you? The psalmist felt like that. Say amen. Listen, he said in one place, he said, I just take wings like a dove and fly away. Amen. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, where are you? But I want to tell you where he is. He's right there. Amen. Because he said he would never leave us. He said he would never forsake us. He said he would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. And then I get excited about this. God keeps his promise concerning provision. The Bible said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen tonight. Listen tonight. I believe in America, one of the things I think I touched on it Sunday, the blessings come and the blessings flooded our country. And I tell you what I believe. I believe people got their eyes off of the blesser and got their eyes on the blessing. Amen. And they got full. And the Bible said something about hell and destruction's never satisfied, so or never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. I believe sometimes, beloved, listen, if we're trying to fill ourselves with the things of this world, we never will be full. But the Bible said, let us be content. Amen? Godliness with contentment is great gain, and let us be content with such things as we have. God has promised us to clothe us. He's promised us to feed us. David said, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. I believe it's important tonight to understand Abraham was made a promise. Yes, he was. Sarah was made a promise. Yes, she was. But you and I, this book, praise God, is full of promises that God has made to Israel, yes, but it's full of promises that God has made to the church of the living God. I'm in this church tonight, and I thank the Lord for the church. I'm not just talking about Bible Way. I believe in the local church, but I'm glad Jesus has a bride, and he's coming after her soon, I believe. And then I think about his promise concerning his place. We that are saved, with the faith advantage, we believe that God keeps his promises. I believe tonight that Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I talked to Brother Larry today. And listen, you can just hear it in his voice. I mean, his body right now is racked with pain. But when I mentioned my pastor, when I mentioned Brother Danny, and then I mentioned Brother Mitchell, you know, he said, Pastor, I didn't know. He said, there's a lot of things I can't do. He said, but I'm sitting here looking at the blue sky. And he said, I can talk to the Lord. And he said, I will talk to the Lord. You know, tonight Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare what? A place. I believe the promise concerning that place, don't you? A place where there's no sin. A place where there's no sorrow. A place where there's no devil. A place where there's no flesh. A place, beloved, listen, where no one's hungry and no one's sick. Where there's no funeral homes. Where there's no hospitals. Where there's no nursing homes. A place where the disease cannot enter in. A place where all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Well, I believe God concerning his place. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. If you read John chapter 17, we won't read it tonight. But one of the things that's magnified in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying in John 17. He said, I will, Father, that they be with me where I am. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, Jesus loves us tonight. And I tell you, he can't wait tonight, amen, for the Father to say, Son, go get them, amen. He wants us to be with him. And he's excited about that. And we ought to be excited about the fact that God keeps his promise. Now, I'll move on tonight. There's a lot more you could say there. But I just wanted to touch on a few things. God let Abraham know quickly that when he said something, he meant it. You know, the Bible is a book that's God-breathed. That means it's inspired. The Bible is a book that God has protected. And the Bible, I believe, is a book that doesn't need to be corrected, but it's a book that will correct us if we'll read it, amen, and we'll study it together. Now, in verse number 17, let me get into this right here tonight. I don't know how far we'll get, but I want to get into this next thing, the 12th thing, I guess, in the list. The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, if he was tried. I just thought I'd see if anybody was awake, amen. Let me just say something about the trials of life. It's not if they're coming. It's when they're coming. Help me tonight. It's not if they're coming. It's when they're coming. They're coming. But the Bible said Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, according that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I just want to say something about the faith advantage tonight. We have something that will stand the test. Someone, I believe it was Brother Ron Garris years ago, he preached a message entitled, This is a Test. This is only a test. How many remembers that coming across the radio? Used to come across the TV, go beep, beep, beep. This is a test. It's only a test. Had it been an actual emergency, you would have received the national broadcast. How many remembers what I'm talking about? Some of you looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. They had a test of the emergency broadcast system. And I tell you something, you and I as God's people need to remember. We are not exempt from trials. We're not exempt from trouble. And we're not exempt from our Father loving us enough, just like He loved Abraham enough to try. I've said this, I'm just a country boy. Listen, this just makes good sense to me. I'd rather know that what I have right now is real or not real than to show up over yonder and find out too late that what I've got's not real. True faith in the God of heaven, the God of this Bible, will stand the test. One of the things that will help us, I believe, is to believe the promise of God. Abraham had that. He took Isaac. You remember the story. Isaac said, Father, behold the wood, the fire, behold the wood, but where's the lamb? Think about this. A lot of people misquote that scripture and they'll say, well, he said God will provide for himself a lamb. That's not what it said. I believe it was prophetic in nature when he said God will provide himself a lamb. And I tell you what will help us in our trials. Stack it up against Calvary. Whatever it is that we're going through, you take it to that place where God gave His only begotten Son to die in your place and to die in my place. And I don't know about you, but that always helps me. Because I'll tell you tonight, even the excruciating pain that some of our members are in tonight, beloved, listen, I don't believe could compare. That would pale in comparison to what Jesus went through on Calvary's cross. Tonight, we have something that will stand the test. The Bible said, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We know, beloved, tonight that God took him up there. He was with Abraham. He took him up there. He took his son up there. And I believe, listen, I don't believe Isaac fought him. I don't believe that at all, amen. I believe Isaac, though he didn't understand, he had enough confidence in his father. You know, I believe tonight that helped you and I. We're not here to understand everything. I'll just start right here with this. I don't understand, Brother Dwayne, why he loves such as I. I don't understand why he saved such as I. I don't understand why he called such as I. I don't have to understand it to appreciate it. Amen. I thank God tonight for his blessings. But I believe tonight that though Isaac didn't understand, he had enough confidence in his father. And I think that's where you and I need to be tonight. There's some things we don't understand along the way. I was thinking about Brother Mitchell the other morning, Miss Eve, and I was over there at the same hospital. Oh, her name slipped my mind, honey. Lady played the organ in Wise. Marlene. She was in the hospital there for surgery, and she had pancreatic cancer. And I still can close my eyes in that corridor where that surgeon came out. And I was standing with Earl, her husband, and that doctor, that surgeon, I mean, he's got the length of this church till he gets to us. He makes eye contact, drops his head, and was shaking his head sideways coming down the hallway. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the test is coming. I thank God tonight that Abraham stood the test. He was going to take his son's life. The Bible said here, I believe it's the greatest text on Abraham and Isaac, that God, accounting that God was able to raise him up. I believe, listen, he intended every bit to take his life because he had such confidence in God that God promised him, that's the seed. Right there is the one that's going to be like the stars for number. Right there is the one that's going to be like the sand by the seashore. And I believe he was just going to stand back and watch. The angel of the Lord stayed his hand, said, "Now I know. Now I know. Now I know." What does God know about you and I tonight? Does he know that we have something that'll stand the test? Beloved, I believe tonight that faith in God, this faith we're talking about that's real, will stand the test. Let me give you this tonight. The next thing in the list is number 13, I believe. We're talking about the faith advantage. What advantage is it? We have something that will stand the test. Listen, when Jesus was, he had that great following. Remember when he fed them down there by the seashore? They sat down companies of 50. There's 5,000 men beside the women and children. He had a great following. And then he started telling them, except you eat my flesh, you're going to have to, in other words, you're going to have to be identified with this death and this burial and this resurrection that's about to take place, except you drink my blood. And the Bible said from that time, many went back and walked with him no more. I believe 1 John said it like this, they went out from us. They were not all of us, therefore they went out from us. Listen, I believe tonight it's important to understand that this Bible teaches that there is a faith in God that will stand the test. It'll stand the test. Number 13, we know that the Bible way is the blessed way. Look at verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Thy rod and thy staff, the Bible said, comfort me. And then by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I just want to give you a couple of things the Lord spoke to my heart about here. It's a blessed way when it comes to looking. Where was Isaac looking when he blessed Jacob and Esau? He was looking concerning things to come. Listen to me tonight. The Bible said he that put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Paul said it like this. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. This is for somebody in this room tonight. You can't dwell back there. You can't dwell on what's already happened. Amen. Listen, we have a Savior that's forgiven us for that mess. Amen. And when somebody goes to digging in it, I'll promise you this, it's not the Savior that forgave you. Here, the blessing came because it was concerning things to come. The Word of God said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a blessed way because it comes to looking out into the future, looking out into the future. The Bible said in verse number 21, it's teaching us it's a blessed way when it comes to leaning. What's he doing? He's leaning upon the top of his staff. You know what I believe? What did we sing tonight, Brother Ralph, when we opened up? What was the title of that song? Huh? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Is that close? Is that what it was? Leaning. Leaning. I like the other song. It says, learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, tonight we have a Savior we can lean on. It's a blessing to walk with God and know that you can lean on Him along the way. And then it's a blessed way when it comes to leaving. Look at verse 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. You know what Joseph was doing? He was looking out there too. You know what he said? God will surely visit you. In other words, Egypt is not the end. God's a-coming. He's going to get you out of Egypt. You're going to cross over into that promised land, amen. And he said, when you do, he said, take my bones out of this place. Oh, I thank God for a man that didn't even want to leave his bones behind. Amen. He didn't want them left in Egypt. He wanted them to go with the children of God over to that land where God had promised. Number 13, we know the Bible way is the blessed way. Number 14 tonight, look at verse 23. We're talking about the faith advantage. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Let me just say this tonight. I'm not going to mention any names tonight. But there's one or two that just came to my mind, and they're not my kin either, as far as the flesh goes. So I'm not here to brag on my children or my grandchildren tonight. That'll have to be for another day. But have you ever looked at someone, or has God just ever impressed your heart that God's got something special for that youngin'? Have you ever experienced that? You know what I believe? I believe when Moses' mom and daddy looked at that youngin', that someone spoke to their heart and said, God's got something special for this youngin'. You say, preacher, what's the faith advantage? Well, here's what God gave me. We don't fear man, we fear God. Watch what the Bible said here. The Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they, oh God, give us a church in America today that won't be afraid of the King's commandment. Amen. That'll not fear man, but fear God. That's the faith advantage. Give us some leaders. Give us leaders in our government. Give us leaders in our churches. Give us leaders in our homes that'll fear God and not fear man. What a blessing that would be. The faith advantage. We do not fear man, but rather fear God. Turn over to Hebrews quickly, chapter 13. I read this text not too long ago. Watch what the Bible said here. It said, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, at them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you know why Daniel kept praying the way he always had? Because he wasn't afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. He feared God. He didn't fear man. Do you know why that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow when the music was played to the image of gold? Because they feared God. They did not fear man. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that time and time and time again in the Bible, you have heroes, not so much because of their ability, but because of their faith in God. David walks out there and faces that giant. I don't know about you. But when I look at his spear and I look at his armor and I know that he's been a man of war from his youth and I look at his size, it's not something I would want to take on. But you know what I believe? I believe faith in God made the difference. He didn't have faith in his sling and faith in his ability. He had faith in God. The same God that delivered him from the lion, the same God that delivered him from the bear, was going to deliver him from that 9'6", somewhere between there and 11-foot giant that was standing out in front of him. That's important to know. The faith advantage. We don't fear man, but rather we fear God. Let me give you this and I'm done tonight. This is very, very important. It's important for all of us, but it's very important for young people tonight. It's very important. Listen, by faith Moses, look at verse 24, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, listen to me tonight, Moses could have had it made as far as the things of this world goes. He could have lived, the expression says, the life of Riley, the life in the king's palace. I want to say this tonight. I'm not going to say it in a mean spirit. I hope it'll be received the way I mean it from my heart tonight. But when we get saved by the grace of God, success is not always money. It's not always prestige. It's not always the best job. I'm telling you tonight, there are missionaries in foreign lands tonight that not many people will ever even know their name. And they may not win many people to Jesus. And they may win a multitude to Jesus. There's places on the earth that are harder than others. Amen? But let me just say this tonight. If they are what God wants them to be, doing what God wants them to do, then tonight, whether they have two nickels to rub together or not, they are a huge success, and the judgment seat of Christ will tell it. I believe tonight, Moses, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So now did he not only know that he wasn't going to have it made, but he knew that it was going to cost him. I believe tonight that there are many in the world that want to go with God and go for God until it costs them something. One old preacher was preaching. The young preacher said to him, he said, I'd give the world to have what you have. The old preacher looked at him and said, son, that's what it costs me. Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Listen. Boy, that's good right there. You say, Moses, Christ. That's right. You remember when he smote the rock, you can read in the book of Corinthians, that rock followed them. That rock was, help me, Christ. That's what the Word of God said. Heard about a man that said you can't find him in the Old Testament. You better open his eyes. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let me just say a couple things quickly and I'll be done. This 15th thing tonight is we do not make our choices for this world. That's the faith advantage. We don't choose for this world, we choose for another world. I don't know about you, but the night I got saved, I didn't have this world on my mind. It wasn't, am I going to live to be 50 or am I going to live to be 60 or am I going to live to be 70? I'll tell you what I had on my mind, another world. I had on my mind without Jesus, I was going to die without God and go to hell. That's what I had on my mind. And that night I came to the Lord. I don't remember exactly when, just in the first day or so after I was saved, I didn't know my feet were touching the ground for 2 weeks after I got saved. It was such a blessing. But I do know that I dedicated my life to God. I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I don't know if my grandchildren have heard this or not, but I know I've told the church. I'll tell it for their sake tonight. Told the church down at Liberty in Carter's Valley that if they would come back on Sunday night, I'd tell them what I want my children to be when they grow up. Of course, I had a boy and three girls, and we had a good crowd that Sunday night. Now, if you got one boy, I believe everybody could just about expect that pastor was going to get up and say, I want my boy to be a preacher, or I want my boy to be a missionary. Some would say maybe they want their boy to be an engineer. But I got up and I said, here's what I want my boy to be. I want my boy to be exactly what God wants him to be. That's what I want my grandchildren to be. I made this statement, Brother Thurman. I said, if God wants my boy to be a plumber and he tries to be a preacher, he'll be a miserable boy. But I said, if God wants my boy to be a preacher and he tries to be a plumber, he'll be a miserable boy. So Aaron, will you ask God what he wants you to do with your life? Avery, will you just ask God, honey, begin to pray. God, what do you want me to do with my life? Josh, will you do that? Jordan, will you do that? How many of you boys want to be happy when you grow up? How many think you're already grown up? A one in every crowd. How many knows he ain't grown up yet? You know why? Because we thought we was grown up and we was your age too. I tell everybody when I was 13 or 14, I thought my daddy's dumber than a coal bucket. Time I was 23, I realized I was the bucket. We don't choose for this world. We choose for another. We see Moses in the text here refusing. Verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let me just say this tonight. I'm going to preach to my grandchildren for 4 or 5 minutes here. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, then there's things you're going to have to refuse along the way. How many knows in the generation that we live in, everything under the sun is being thrown at these young people? And if you and I mean, it doesn't matter if we're senior citizens tonight, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, there's some things we're going to just have to say no to and refuse. Amen. Then we see Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction. I'm not going to get off on this tonight, but this movement in America that says, boy, if you get saved, you're going to drive the finest, you're going to have the finest, you're going to, that's a lie. Here's a man that knew what he was choosing. He knew what he was refusing. He was refusing this world and he was choosing another world. Choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God. And then we see Moses musing. Look at verse 26. I looked up the definition of that word because I'm not real smart. I thought the word fit, but then I looked up the definition, but it just means to kind of meditate upon something, to think about something, just To be honest with you, that's when a lot of what I preach comes to me, when I'm just musing, I'm just meditating and thinking about what I've read or about what I've heard about the situation around me. What's he musing about? What's he thinking about? He's esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Years ago, many of you all may not know about this, but years ago there were pastors' conferences in different places. I'm not going to name names. Preachers would get together, and preachers need to get together. Nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, as a young preacher, there was something that bothered me. Because success was based on numbers. If you weren't baptizing at least 100 people a year, then there's something just bad wrong with you and your church. I want to say this tonight. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible said that God was going to try every man's work. And so as by fire. But I'm going to give you two words tonight. God didn't say by what size it is. He said by what sort it is. What kind of work is it? Is it a work of faith? Is it a labor of love? I personally believe, listen to me carefully, I can't prove this, but I believe in the day of judgment, we're going to see some of the mountain preachers, Brother Ralph, stayed with a handful of people, open this book every Sunday and every Wednesday, prayed for that handful of sheep that God gave them. And I believe we're going to find out one day after a while. Amen. Not just what size it is, that's not what's important. No wonder our Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, by what sort it is. We don't choose for this world, we choose for another. I'm just glad you come tonight.